I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. I'm going to single out one of these particular pieces of armor that Paul says is part of the armor of God that we need to be wearing every day. It's found in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So I want to talk about the sword of the Spirit this morning. This is the only weapon here, the only piece of armor that is both a defensive and an offensive weapon. So not only can it defend and protect us, it can also carry an attack to the enemy. So the Apostle Paul, when you go back and look in Acts chapter 16, you'll find that he, along with Silas, were put in prison, verse 24, and their feet were fast in the stocks. Paul was bound. Again, in another place in this 28th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul, on this long voyage to Rome, finally got there, and it says in verse 30, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So he was under house arrest. He was chained to a Roman soldier. And so you could chain the Apostle Paul. But he could come back and write to us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 and tell us concerning this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is like that sword. And he says concerning the word of God, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the Word of God is not bound. I'm very thankful this morning that you can't chain the Word of God. You might chain up the messenger, as Paul often was, bound, but you cannot bind the Word of the living God. Now, it's interesting to me, when you turn to that last chapter of Philippians, chapter 4, you will find this. All the saints salute you, verse 22, Philippians 4:22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now, Caesar ruled over the Roman Empire. In the very palace of Caesar, there were believers, because Paul, chained to that Roman guard for 2 years, I'm sure everybody in Rome heard about Jesus Christ. And there were a lot of believers and there were a lot of scoffers. But the beautiful thing to me is, you can chain up the messenger, but you can't chain the message. And it reached even servants. Slaves, more than likely, brought in from all over the Roman kingdom where the legions had gone and defeated all these lands. Slaves, servants in the very house of Caesar, coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, you have a very wonderful thing at your disposal. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it is truth. We're in a battle, whether we want to think about it or not. We're surrounded by all of these things that Paul speaks of here in this sixth chapter of Ephesians, when he says in verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." We're standing against what he says in verse 11 and 12. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." So the rulers of the darkness of this world, they're all around us. But they're invisible foes. And you cannot see them. But you certainly can see their activities, where they're stirring up confusion, and they're stirring up strife, and they're stirring up hatred. The world is full of so many of the wiles of the devil. It enters into our national scene. It enters into our church scene. It enters into our families. It's right around us every day in our own personal walk with God. It's there all the time. And the main way that Satan wants to fight against you and to fight against me is the same way that he fought against Adam and Eve when he deceived her with lies and deceptions. He wants to cast doubt upon the Word of God. Has God said that? Did God really mean that? Surely he didn't mean that, because he doesn't want you to miss out on some fun in life. So he loves to cast doubt. He loves to plant insinuations and mistrust between husbands and wives and families. He's there to stir up everything behind the scenes. And how are you going to fight him? With the truth. Because the truth will slay every lie the devil tells you. It's found in the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We stand against him, against all his lies, through the truth of that word. So we, in order to keep that sword sharp, you know, I know there's some Japanese swords that you can throw this very light veil up in the air and it comes down on that sword and it's so sharp it just cuts it right in two. Now that's the way we need to have our sword. A dull sword is not going to be a benefit to you or to me. Well, how do you sharpen that sword? You hide it in your heart. That's what the psalmist could say in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verse 11, he says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." So that word hide, it means to hoard. Like you would hoard up valuables and store them up in a place where people can't touch them. That's what you're doing to the Word of God. You're hoarding it up. But I tell you something. We've got something dwelling in us that has a great aversion to that. You know, 48 years ago, I memorized Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus. 48 years ago. Now, I have something dwelling in me that has an aversion. I guess my default is spiritual laziness, because I have to work. I have to force myself to go over those scriptures again, to go over them and over them, to keep them fresh in my mind. But that's the whole point. That's what Paul could write in Galatians 5:17 about how the spirit and the flesh, there's constantly a battle going on there with them. So I have a flesh nature that will keep me busy doing everything under the sun except getting in the Word of God. Do you find that true in your life? That's our natural default place. Now, 48 years ago, I was in my first love. God had turned my life around, and brother, I wanted in the Word. And I got up early in the morning, and I stayed up late, walking over and over to memorize those books of the Bible. And now I can't hardly even crack a Bible and go over it again because there's such a warfare in my spirit to do that. You ever find that so in your life? So we have to press in. We have to keep warring, and it's a battle. It's like Paul could write of his own struggles there in Romans 7. That which I would do, I do not. What a struggle it is to have this Word in our heart. So young people, while you've got a young, fresh mind, I encourage you to hide the Word in your heart, because the days will come as you get older and out of your first love, it's going to be more of a struggle to hide it in your heart. But it's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm saying it's a struggle to do it as we get older. Hide it in our hearts. That's how we keep it sharp. You know, there's a beautiful thought in 1 John chapter 2. No doubt this had to be part of what he's talking about when he says in verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Those young men had to be strong because the Word of God was abiding in them. Strong because they were hiding it in their heart. The sword cuts through everything that is false. You know, we're surrounded by false religions. I mean, they're on every corner. What is a false religion? You know, Paul could write to the Corinthian saints in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and he could say in verse 4, as concerning, therefore, eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. I tell you, it's a false religion if they say that Jesus Christ is not God in the flesh. You know, that is an antichrist that denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. It's a false religion if it wants to name hundreds of names of God, because you know what the Masonic Lodge says? It says that He's the nameless one of a thousand names. Well, that's not so. He's got one name, because He's one God, and His name is Jehovah. And it matters what you call him. You know, when you go back to Exodus chapter 3, this is exactly what Moses said to God in that burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Well, he didn't say, I'm the nameless one of a thousand names. He said, I am. I am that I am. I am the only self-existent, eternal God who has lived forever and who will never die. That's the Almighty. Amen. And his Son is the great I am. You know, I love that book of John where Jesus over and over again says, I am. Referring to that Old Testament passage right here in Exodus 3:14. I am that I am, the true and living God. Many false religions abound. And what James could tell us in James chapter 1, verse 18, it's all based on the truth. Because God is a God of truth. So James 1:18 could say, Of his own will begat he us with the word of what?
Truth.
He begat us. That is, he brought us to the birth by truth. The truth didn't give us the life. It's just like a little baby being brought out into the open. That midwife didn't give it life. She simply attended it coming into existence there to be seen by all. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And you know that's another way the devil wants to get at you. Stir up your anger. Stir up your anger towards the most precious person in your life. Your wife, your family. Isn't it amazing how when we can get angry at somebody at work, we come home and we take it out on who? We take it out on the wife and the kids, huh? Y'all ever have that problem? Oh, no. Oh, it's such a terrible thing, the wrath of man. It'll never work the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that is a law filled with the truth of God, you see your true condition. You acknowledge your true condition, and that condition is, I need God Almighty. I'm a broken down sinner by myself alone. I need the help of the Almighty God. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain, pure religion and undefiled. Before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's part of the true religion of the Almighty God. It's built on the truth. And that's exactly what Jesus could say in Matthew 7 and 24 when he talks about how that when we hear his words and we keep them, then it's like that wise man who builds his life upon a solid foundation. And that's the foundation of truth. False philosophies are abounding all around us. And this is what Paul could write to the Colossians saints in Colossians chapter 2. He says, don't let anybody carry you away as booty. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That word spoil means to seduce you, to lead you away as booty or spoil. I remember Elder Eddie Whidbey coming and preaching years ago on this text and how he would liken it to somebody coming along and just picking up a little pig and putting it under their arm and carrying it away. And that's what we do if we give in to the philosophies of the world that are false. But you have something that will cut through every false thing, every false teaching, every false philosophy, and that is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's there. It is what we are to do, to take heed to what we hear. That's what Jesus could say in Mark. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus says, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. We've got to weigh it out by the truth of Almighty God. There's a lot of false philosophies in the world that are taking people captive today. And we need to hear what's being said and weigh it by the truth of the Word of God. Because I don't want you to be carried away as booty by those who are full of deception and deceit and lies. And so I want you to remember this, Ephesians chapter 4. Part of that battle that's going on. He says to these Ephesian saints in chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How do you defeat them? What he tells us in the next verse. But speaking the truth in love. It all comes back to the truth. It's the truth of God's Word. That's the sword that cuts through everything that is false. You know, we get wrapped up in our minds today with all kinds of confusion, things people tell us and things we listen to on whatever squawk box we listen to. And it's bringing many doubts and confusion in people's minds. But this you need to remember, what Jesus told us in John chapter 8. We need to be set free. And John 8 tells us what frees our minds. John 8, 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, I tell you, when our minds start getting all wrapped up with junk from the world, we need to come back to the Word of God, because it will set our minds free. Clear it all up. The Word of God that's true.
This sword cuts through false people. And I tell you, there's false people all around us. Matthew 24 and 24. Jesus is saying, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Peter can come back in 2 Peter chapter 2 and tell us again, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Surely not in 2023. As long as the church is in the world, there will be false people. False people coming in among us. Satan sowing the tares even in the church of the living God. False people. And this is what John means, I think, when he says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try them by the truth of God's Word. Well, then you've got a false gospel. You know what Paul describes that false gospel as? Well, in Galatians chapter 1, he tells us. Galatians chapter 1, he says in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. That another gospel is a false gospel, and it abounds on every corner. What is a false gospel? Well, let's see. Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21 tells us, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he's going to try to save his people from their sins.
He shall save.
I'm glad you caught that. That's right. He's not going to try. He shall save his people from their sins. And that's exactly what Jesus said in John 17 in his high priestly prayer. He said in John 17 and verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That work was to save his people. And Jesus said, I finished that work. Now, he could speak about it even before he went to the cross, because that's how sure it was in his mind. It was so sure in his mind that had he wanted to not go to the cross, this is what he told Peter in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, this is pretty astounding to me. Now, Peter just drew his sword out in the garden because they had come to take Jesus and he was going to try to protect him. And Jesus says, verse 52, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Now you listen to verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus It must be. You know how many were in a legion? 4,800. You multiply that times 12, you got 57,600 angels. That's enough to take out the whole world, you know it? But Jesus said, I could pray to my Father and He would presently send me more than 12 legions of angels. You know in the Old Testament, one angel went out and slew 185,000 men in one night. And now he's talking about 57,600 angels. If he didn't want to go to the cross, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. But he went to the cross because of his great love for his people. And so this is what Jesus could say on the in finishing that. Wonderful work. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Everlasting one. One won't be lost. Everyone the Father gave him will come. So if you've got a gospel telling you that you've got to do something to complete the circle of salvation, then why do we sing the song, Jesus paid it all? If he didn't, pay it all. Thankfully, he did. Pay every last nickel I owed, brother. And then so much more through his precious blood. That's a false gospel that tells you Jesus, all his work will come to nothing if you don't do your part. Well, then I'm gone. I never could do a part. I'm thankful Jesus did it all. And he gave it to me and he gave it to you as a wonderful gift of his love forever. Well, what does Peter tell us? He says, be ready. 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, I want you to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. I want you to set apart God in your heart so that you can be ready to give an answer to every man who asks you why you have this hope within you. Why do you believe what you believe? And the only way that we will ever be ready to give an answer is that we're in the Word. We're hiding it in our heart. We're treasuring it up. We're hoarding it and putting it in a safe place where nobody can take it away from us. And as we do that, then we are more prepared to tell people why I have a hope in Jesus Christ, who He is. Can you tell people today who God is? Can you tell them what His name means? Can you tell them about some of the wonderful attributes of this God? Well, then if you can't, we need to be in the Word finding it out. So that when people ask you, we don't have to hem-haw around. We can tell them, this is what I believe and this is why I believe it. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to know the Word of God and let it be at home in our heart. And that's again what Peter can tell us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell. That is, be at home in you. Let it be at home in you in such a way that we're taking it in like food. And that's what Job could say in Job chapter 23. Job 23 and verse 13. Job could say this concerning God's Word. Well, it's actually verse 10. No, 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. And Jeremiah winds it up by saying this, Thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it was the joy and I'm forgetting a word. Let me read it. In that 15th chapter of Jeremiah, and in that 16th verse, he says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." And that's the way it will be to yours and to mine when we can devour it as these men of God have done of old. And as we do it, we will have a sharp sword ready at hand to defeat all the lies of the enemy.